following message is a presentation of Valley Metro Church, a community of believers dedicated to knowing God and making Him known.
You know, the Bible says God has great and mighty things we know not of. Jeremiah 33:3. Great and mighty things we know not of. He's got profound things available for us. And I wonder what it would look like if God did everything in our lives and through us that He hoped to do and that He wants to do. What would that look like? I mean, it's kind of baffling if you think about it. The Bible uses the term fruit, bearing fruit. That's what it looks like. On the outside is fruit coming out of you and I. The Bible uses this term all over and over again about the fruit coming out of your lives and my life and in your life. Jesus said the Father's will, if you want to know God's will, the Father's will is that we bear much fruit. So besides being a follower of Jesus, trusting God with your life, forgiveness, your future, eternity, that's great. The mission is to bear much fruit. It's the Father's will that we bear much fruit. And when I think about fruit, the Bible has a lot to say about it. It also has things to say about what gets in the way of bearing fruit. Matthew 13 tells us the way the fruit comes about is that God puts seed in our heart. And if the condition of the soil in this heart of ours, our heart is soil, it's a garden. And God is planting seed in our heart. And if our heart is the right kind of soil, the right kind of heart condition, that all of this seed that God is planting in us can actually multiply and grow. In fact, it goes on to say specifically that what God puts in your heart can grow 30 times, 60 times, or 100 times. Now, I'd like to ask you to close your eyes for a moment and imagine something, if you would. Just bear with me for a second. Close your eyes and look at four different categories, or imagine four categories. Maybe the one on your left is one. At the end of the life, there's just, unfortunately, there was no fruit for some reason. There was none. So you see, picture that one. And the next one is the things that God put in you. And somehow, miraculously, by His grace and His power, the seed He put into you multiplied times 30, and it's on display, and it looks amazing, and so many people were blessed, and lives were changed because of this 30-fold. And then moving over now to the next column, there's a garden of the seed God put in you that grew to 60 times more than the very things that He put in you. This is overflowing, blessing lives everywhere. And then finally, the last one, 100-fold. There's no room to plant anything else. It's bearing fruit everywhere. The fruit is just overflowing, and so many people have been blessed by the fruit, all because of what God put in the garden. And let's open our eyes and just ponder that thought for a minute right now. It's the Father's will that you and I bear much fruit. Not little, not none, much fruit. We can't bear fruit unless we abide in the vine. The Bible says that. We're not creators of fruit. We're not manufacturers. We're simply distributors, right? It's important. We don't manufacture fruit. We distribute the fruit by abiding in the vine, Jesus. But as I was praying this week, God impressed this burden on my heart of just revealing to me, and kind of just as I walked through Friday, I was walking through here praying over every, you know, seat in here and praying for you guys. And I really felt the Lord say, this is the time for this message. So I hope this resonates with you today, but I know it does with me. And what God was saying is that His desire is that we the seed in our life bears fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. However, there are things that get in the way, and there are things that crowd out the seed of what God wants to do. Now, if you had a garden in your backyard, say you had four of them, one had no fruit, one grew 30, 60, and 100-fold. You'd be looking and saying, what's the difference? Why is one blowing up over here and the other one's not doing anything? You would find out, is it not getting enough water? Because then I'm going to do that. Is it getting too much water? Because then I'm going to hold on. Is it not getting fertilizer? I don't know. Is it not in the sun? I have to do something because it's got to bear fruit. The same is true with us spiritually, that there are things, there are conditions that actually hinder the growth of the fruit that God wants born in our life. It's His will. When God knows the plans He has for us, not to harm us, but prosper us, give us a hope and a future, it's His heart that we bear much fruit. God sees us with this potential that if you'll just work with me, the Lord would say to us, I can do things and there can be a level of fruition in your life that you cannot do on your own, the Lord would say. You can only do it with me. However, there are very tangible things that get in the way and block that out. Specifically, Matthew 13:22 says this. It says this, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, making it unfruitful. We're not going to unpack that whole passage of Matthew 13 and the seeds, but you guys know the parable. There's different seeds and grows. Some gets choked out very early, and some the birds pick it up and take it like the devil does. And it's given an analogy of what happens to the seed that God's trying to plant. This one, to me, is the believers. The seed goes in, and the seed grows up. And these are people, I believe, with a genuine love for God, like the disciples, like people like you and I. But there are things that come in and start choking the amount of fruition that can happen. And in this particular case, it's talking about the potential of God getting choked out of our lives. And if we were to look at that fruition of 0 and 30 and 60 and 100 fold, we'd say, we want the 100, but okay, maybe we'll settle for the 60, but we don't want this one. And so I really sense the Lord saying, identify what is choking and quenching the maximum fruition of what God wants to do in our lives. We could have borne fruit, but we didn't because of certain things that come up in our life. And nobody wants that. I really sense the Lord say to share this message. I really was praying and saying, Lord, what is your word for the church today? And I really sense the Lord say to take all of your worries and your doubts and your anxieties and pursuits and bring them to me. Bring them all to me. Because if you don't bring your worries and your doubts and your anxieties and your pursuits to the Lord, we end up in the same category that, Lord, thank you for your seed. Oh, we love you, God, and we believe your word. However, instead of it growing up to a place of fruition, the worries of this world, anxieties, or the deceitfulness of riches or pursuits or agendas or whatever we're doing will choke out the very life of fruition that God wants to do. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean don't have pursuits. It just means consecrate them all. It doesn't mean that we don't have worries. It means we bring them to the King. Amen? Because if not, guys, these very things will rob us from the fruition of what we should have in our lives. On Wednesday night at our Hearing from God series, we had a time of listening to God and sharing what God was saying. And everyone in the room is learning how to listen to God. And if you come on the next Wednesday, we're going to go through that more, how we actually tune our ear to the voice of the Holy Spirit, test what is from God and what is not, and how this is normal in the New Testament church. The Lord gave me a word for a brother in the room, and I said, okay, Lord, it was this message about fruition could be like this, but there's worries and anxieties that are choking it right out. And sure enough, this brother started walking over to me, and I'm like, wow, this is perfect, because you obviously meant this to happen. And I felt the Lord say, psst, this is for you too, by the way. I'm like, okay, I get it. And as I was praying through the church this Friday, I felt the Lord say, this is for everybody right now. This is the season for this. Because there are things in your life that you're going through right now that are taking your eyes off the prize, that are taking your aim away, that are taking your heart focus away, that are taking your energies away, your passions away, your direction away. And as a result, there is a choking out that may be happening in some areas of your life. I'm just telling you, God wants the fruit to be 30, 60, 100 fold, much fruit. So I really want to address this morning. If you can turn to Psalm 23, we're going to be looking at this passage, and we're going to see how God, the God of all comfort, the God of all comfort is what he's called, wants us to bring these things to him, our worries, fears, doubts, anxieties, these sort of things, and God will say, I got that. I got you covered. Come to me. All of you who are weary, you have a heavy load, come to me. I'll give you rest. He's been saying that for 2,000 years. I believe it is so true today. We can be in the faith. We can be believers of Jesus Christ, followers of him, yet get caught up with the worries of the world and all this stuff going on, anxieties, and he's still telling you and I, come to me, all of you who are weary and have a heavy load. I'll give you rest. Before we do that, Psalm 46:10, I believe we have a graphic for up here. It says, cease striving and know that I'm God. NIV says, be still and know that I am God. Cease striving is the New American Standard. And I believe in our life, if you were to ask yourself honestly, am I striving? Do I find myself striving in any area of life right now? That's what God wants to speak to. And he wants to say, hey, cease striving. It's not that we're not pursuing things, but the striving, the very striving. Striving, when we are striving, we are not in the Spirit. When we are striving, we're not in the Spirit. When we're striving, we're in the flesh. And we're trying to get something done, trying to make something happen, trying to get somewhere or do something, whether it's rushing around in your car or worried about your job or worried about whatever it is. When we're striving, we're not in the Spirit. And this is the kind of stuff that starts to choke the very life out of the fruit that God's trying to do in our lives. But Psalm 23, happy Mother's Day, Mom. How are you? Yeah, I'm preaching right now. I'll call you in a minute. Love you, bye. I'll call her back. The God of all comfort, Psalm 23. And today I'm reading this out of the King Jimmy version, King James, because it's so poetic and eloquent that it's hard to beat this in the King James version. And I'm going to read through it, and I want to unpack it if we could, because it's really, this is rich, guys. And if you find yourself striving, any kind of anxiety, worries, doubts, the pursuits kind of weighing you down in life, robbing you of what God wants to do, I believe this is his answer. The God of all comfort has a solution for you this morning, and he does for me as well. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen to that passage. That passage has probably brought more comfort than any passage in the Bible over the years, and there's good reason for it. David, who wrote this, was running for his life. People wanted to kill him, not one, many, and he's hiding out in a cave. This is a guy who slayed the giant. God called him to be king. But there was a long process between the first event and the second one. And sometimes we might not realize that the calling of God, even though God called him to be a king, that this process was running for his life in the middle. And David's like, why am I going through all this anxiety, this stress? This isn't very peaceful, God. And hiding out in a cave for his life, he learns how to be still and know that he is God. Can you imagine running for your life? Running through your life in a cave and God showing you, be still and know that I'm God. God's saying, I have you. I see the situation. And so Psalm 23 builds on this. This was written likely in a cave by David. It says in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, this is the key to everything, because you cannot have the comfort of this passage if the Lord is not the shepherd of your life. I mean, really the shepherd of your life. Not the idea of him being the shepherd, not the principle of him being the shepherd, the reality of God being your shepherd. The Bible says we all like sheep have gone astray. So people are like sheep. We just kind of wander. We do what's right in our own eyes, and that's what all people kind of do. And there's a point where you recognize that Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. And so when we come to Jesus and we know his voice, we recognize his voice, we hear his voice, we respond to his call, we accept him as Lord and Savior, he is the shepherd of our life. But we also have to let him be the shepherd of our life. And I think this is where this passage begins to unfold, is letting him fully be your shepherd. Not the principle of a shepherd, but letting him be your full-on shepherd. And so the first thing, if you want to be a note taker today, I was just praying, Lord, what is your heart for us to understand you as the God of all comfort? What does it really take for us to really get this into our heart, into our soul, into our DNA spiritually? And the first one was this, come fully under my protection and direction, is what the great shepherd would say to all of us this morning. Come fully, fully under my protection and my direction. Don't just come under the idea of my protection and direction. Don't come under just the principle, but literally come under my protection and direction. The Lord, the Bible refers to us coming under the shadow of his wings. Have you heard this expression? Coming under the shadow of his wings. Why? Because there's protection there and there is direction there, and God has you covered under the direction of his wings. We've also seen people do like what Jonah did and says, no, I'm not coming under the protection. I'm going my own way. And he finds himself in a really bad predicament. The Bible is full of situations with Israel and people like you and I coming under God's protection and getting fully protected and provided for and directed. But when we step out from that, then we choose to go our own way and things can happen to us. There is a radical truth, a profound reality of coming almost like an umbrella where God says, I'll protect you from this storm if you stay under it. But if you want to walk away, you have free will, you can. And sometimes you find yourself stepping out from God's umbrella. Has anybody ever done this, right? You step out and you realize, I better get back over there. That's a better spot for me. Anybody? Let's be honest. Absolutely, yeah, because God's got you covered in this place. We reap what we sow. This is the zone we want to be in. And the Bible is suggesting if he is your shepherd truly, then everything else is predicated on the fact that he is our shepherd. And so come fully under my protection and my direction. Great example of that in the Bible. You know the story of Job, right? The story of Job, very unique story, probably the oldest book in the Bible. Most scholars would agree. And Job, the devil tries to get to Job and he can't. Lucifer himself, one guy, can't get to him. You thinking the devil can't get to one guy? The devil and all his demons can't get to one guy? No, he can't get to one guy. He cannot, with all his powers, principalities, and minions, cannot get to one guy. And why can he not get to one guy? Why? It says in the story of Job, and the devil says it himself. He goes to God and says, well, look at Job over here. And God's like, that's right, look at Job. And the devil says, well, I can't get to him because you have him hedged in. Say hedged in. Hedged in. Say it again. Hedged in. Under God's protective covering, under the shadow of his wing, in a zone where the devil can't mess with you or get to you. Does that make sense? That's where he's living. His life is under the good shepherd. He lives his life that way. He doesn't step out and roll differently. He's like, God, you're the king. I am not. I'm coming under your ways, your will, your power, your love. I want to live there. And that's what he does. He's under God's protective blessing. And it's the one story in the Bible where we see God saying, I'm going to prove a point and I'm going to remove a portion of the protective hedge. Just a little bit. And the devil can't do anything without God's permission. Does that make sense? It's one story. It's what we don't see it repeated again. So don't look at it like an ongoing way we should expect things necessarily in our life. But I would tell you the theme of God hedging people, his people in, protecting his people is a reality. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If we don't get past anything beyond this today, this is good. I shall not want. See, sheep, when they're with their shepherd, they don't walk around and want all the time because the shepherd knows what's best for them. The shepherd knows provision. The shepherd knows everything about the benefit of the sheep. And there are things in our life that we want, okay, honestly, and then there are things in our life that we really want. Does that make sense? There's things that we want. We're just pursuing this and pursuing that. I don't think that's bad. But there's things that we want. And those things that we want, the Bible uses a term, covet. Like, I really, really want that. I really got to get that. And you know what it is when it starts creeping up in you. Can I get some amens in the house? Anybody? You know, whatever it is, that iPhone 6, I got to get it. Or whatever it is, ladies, that dress. I don't know what it is, but it starts creeping up. It's like, I got to have that. You know what it is? It's not wanting, it's wanting. It's a coveting starting to rise up in us, and that will choke the very life of what God wants to do in the Spirit. These sort of things that creep up, and they creep up so subtly. The appetite of deep desire, the stress of the pursuit, and the worry about not getting it all creep up in our life and start robbing us of the fruit, because worry has weight. Worry has weight, and these weights weigh us down. The King James Version says, I shall not want. The NIV says, I lack nothing. And it means the same thing. I shall not want. I lack nothing. When we're living in need, we're living in lack. But when we're living in trust, we're living in satisfaction. It's been said that he who needs nothing has everything. She who needs nothing has everything. And this is the mindset, the heart condition, that I am under the shadow of his wing. He is my king. He's got me hedged in. He's my shepherd, not just the principle. In reality, he's my shepherd. So if I don't have something right now, I don't need it. Does that make sense? I don't need it. There might be some things you want, you're pursuing, but you don't need it. And the passage is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I've got everything I need. And I got to tell you something. If he's really your king, the Lord, and your shepherd, you can actually say that. But so much hinges on this, because if he is, you begin to trust him. You begin to live with him, trusting your shepherd. Not the idea that, yes, God, you are a shepherd of most people most of the time, but I still got to get my stuff figured out. Thank you very little. And some people do that. Thank you, God, but I got to handle my own business over here. Saying, I get what you say, but I'm stepping out my own way to do it my own way because I got to handle my stuff, rather than saying, God, I'm under yours. You got my back. You are the king. You are the shepherd. I shall not want. I don't live in need. I am not going to be subject to walking around in life in need and in anxiety because of the weight of this. Does that make sense? The weight of this. Yeah, it's not about being satisfied because we have everything. It's about being satisfied because God has everything for you that you need. He knows our needs before we ask, the Bible says. And he's our shepherd, and he's a good shepherd. He's got you. Second point this morning, it's not just to come under, the Lord would say, not just come under my protection and direction, but also come fully under my provision. Provision. Provision is an area where sometimes there's maybe lacking trust in God for his provision. Again, this is under his shadow of his wing. If he's the good shepherd, the sheep trust the shepherd for provision. And I think we have to learn how to live that way. If we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ, we have to learn how to trust him, not just for our protection and our direction, but for our provision as well. Really important stuff. If not, we start striving. And the Bible's saying, cease striving and know that I am God. We start to pursue the deceitfulness of riches, or we start to pursue weighed down with anxieties. Everything the Bible says that will rob the seed and choke it out in our life if we don't trust God in these areas. Verse number 2, I love this passage, and you may want to underline this in your Bible this morning. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. I want to stop at that point right there. You know, sometimes we need to slow down. We need to slow down. And God knows we need to slow down. And God looks down at us and sees us in some kind of frenzy, some sort of frenzy. He's looking down and said, this is my children. I love them. My son came for them. I put my spirit in them. They call me by name, but I'm seeing them live in some kind of frenzy down there. Wow. And we're living in some kind of frenzy, and God knows we need to lie down in green pastures. But maybe we don't want to, or we're too busy, or we don't have the time for that. Anybody relate? You too little busy? All right? God's like, oh, boy, I love you too much to see you doing that. I love you too much to see you running around in a frenzy, spinning out. I love you too much for that. And so sometimes we need to slow down. We won't slow down, and God loves us too much for it, and it says that he makes me lay down. You might want to underline that in your Bible, because that is a reality about God's heart for you, and it's not for your harm. It's for your benefit. It's for your future. It's for your blessing. It's for your protection. It's for the fruition he wants to bear in your life. That's why he makes us lay down. That concept alone, we can sit and camp out on that one today. God making you slow down to be still and know that I am God. I'm not exempt from this either. I have five kids, pastor in a church, a lot of stuff going on. Just slow down, God. God's saying, slow down, be still, and know that I am God. And it has got this amazing way when you see what happens in this passage of what rolls out of this. When we are still and know that he is God, there's amazing things that roll out of this. And God has his ways of making us lay down. He has ways of making us stop. And I would suggest to you that if God is calling you to sit down and rest with him, sit down and rest. By the way, the man wasn't made for the Sabbath. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man. Amen? And through the Bible, this premise, this principle of God's rest for you and I has been from the very, very beginning of time. Ever since he created humanity until the end, God's provision, because rest is a gift, is a provision for you and I. We can accept it or we can walk away from it. We can say, well, God doesn't know my schedule. God doesn't know the kids have soccer on Sunday and I got this on Saturday. He just obviously doesn't know. So that was for them in the old fashioned, but it's not for me. No, this is a principle that God has put out for your benefit, so your soul will thrive and flourish. He says, 6 days a week you shall work, but on the seventh rest. A lot of people work 5 days. God's like, fine, even if you work six, even if you work 15-hour days, 6 days a week, slow down, meet with me. Because if you do that, you can go on and on and on and on. There was a situation when World War II broke out. This whole country went into this industrial revolution, obviously, where there was rationing things, sugar, rubber. They went into a mode of everything is in manufacturing, and they were focused on the war effort, as many other countries were as well. And when that happened, there was a boat maker, and they were making boats for the Navy, and they said, that's it, we have to up production 7 days a week. And so 7 days a week, they're in there making these boats for the Navy. And what they realized is people were getting so fatigued and all these things were coming up. They finally went to the government and said, please, please, can we shut down one day? Please, can we just take the Sabbath and we'll make the boats 6 days and we promise we'll make as many boats and maybe more. And they were very reluctant to do that. But guess what? They let them do it. Production went up. Quality went up. Everything went up. Morale went up. Everything went up when people can stop and sit down. That was an era where people used to take a Sabbath. Amen? Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. When it says that God makes me lay down in green pastures, he's got a way of making you rest. Rest with God. Don't wrestle with God on this. Rest and don't wrestle with God. And that's the third point this morning, is don't wrestle with me. Rest with me. Rest with me. Don't wrestle with God. The Bible has a story of somebody wrestled with God. His name's Jacob. He walked with a limp ever since. The rest of his life, he walked. And you know what he'd tell you? Don't wrestle with God. Rest with him. Don't fight God. You know, and God loves us so much. He wants our lives to bear fruit. He wants us to reflect him and represent him. But these very things come in our life and start choking it out. And God is saying, hey, if I'm your shepherd, don't live in want, don't live in these, you know, lusting after everything, and come before me, lay down, sit with me, be still, know that I'm God, and if not, I love you so much, I might have to make you lay down. Has anybody ever felt like God's parked you for a minute, sat you down somehow, some way, shape, or form? Can I get some amens on that? Amen. You know what I'm talking about. That's because he loves you. Not because he doesn't love, he loves you. And he knows he can do so much more. He can show his love to you. He sees us spinning out like a frenzy. Like if you had kids and you're looking around and they're in a little frenzy, you're like, well, wait, I can't let him stay in that place. I love him too much to see him stay in that. I gotta intercede into this. I gotta intervene into the situation. And God does that with us and he makes us lay down in green pastures. It's really good. Be still and know that I am God. Rest is a gift. It's also a choice. You got to choose to rest, and it is a gift from God if you will take it. There's no such thing as Superman, no such thing as Superwoman. No one's exempt from God's principle of rest. It's his offer, and there's so much life. It says it's a place of green pastures and still waters. And that focuses on the stillness of it. Being still and know that he's God is not zipping through the Starbucks on your cell phone. Triple latte with a mocha frap, vortex swirl, please, you know. That's not being still is somehow slow down. Be still. I don't care if that's your prayer closet, as the Bible refers to, or where that place is, but it is being still. It is meeting with God. And it says what happens here. It says God restores my soul. Please understand this. Underline that in your Bible. God restores your soul. Your soul, the Bible refers to a soul, referring to the mind, the will, and the emotions. The spirit part, you're born again of water and spirit. The Holy Spirit comes, takes resident in your life. And the spirit part is born again, made new. Mind, will, and emotions, those are being renewed. We're renewing our mind, our will, and our emotions. We're conforming them into his image. Does that make sense? We're working this stuff out. And that's the very stuff that gets beaten down and worn out and tired and fatigued and confused and stressed and anxiety and all these other things we're talking about that rob the seed from growing are these very things. And it says when we sit down with him, he restores our soul. Hallelujah for that. We need our soul restored. It's not like I said yes to Jesus, I'm good, I don't need any more restoration. No, we need restoration every day. If you're pouring your life out like a drink offering, you need to be filled again. God needs to restore our soul, and that's what's going on in this right here. It says that he restores our soul, our mind, will, and emotions get back on track with the Holy Spirit, and God's peace in our life begins to reign, the peace of God, which passes understanding. It passes comprehension. In the natural, you'll say, well, you don't know what I'm dealing with. I got A, B, C, D. I got all these problems. You have no idea, Pastor. I get it, but the peace of God will surpass our understanding. Does that make sense? It only happens when we be still, know that he's God. Says that after we're still and after he restores our soul, the next part of the sequence is that he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is really cool. This is saying the shepherd can lead you in the right paths. That's what a righteous path is, for his name's sake. You want to bear fruit? The only way you're going to bear fruit is in God's path, not our own. Okay? The only way, the fruit, it's not like whatever God, I'm going this way. God's like, the fruit is this way. Okay, after you restore my soul, I'm in a place where I'm not in a frenzy. I'm not in anxiety. I'm not in worry. I'm not in doubt. I am with you. You've restored my soul. I'm in a really good place with you, God. Perfect. Now I can lead you. See how this works? Now I can lead you in the right path. If we're in a frenzy in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, we're distraught, we're worried, anxiety, fears, pursuits, lust after things, desire, I got to get that, I need that. Whatever it is, if we're living that way, we're not in a position to be led in the right path. We're not even in the right zone. But when we're still, know that he's God, when he leads us beside the still waters, when he restores our soul, the God of all comfort puts peace back in our life. We're in a place like, okay, God, you obviously got it covered. What's next? Good question. Come this way. I want to lead you in the right path right now. And these are paths for his namesake. These are paths for his glory. These are paths where that's where the fruit is. God's like, the fruit's not down this road. It's down this road. I know you might think it's that road, but it's not. It's this road. Come with me. With a restored soul, we get in on these sort of things. It's amazing. He leads us, which means he's in the front. We follow. We're listening to the Spirit's voice, and God's leading us, and he gets the glory. It's amazing. It's amazing how it works. Verse 4 says this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Have you guys ever felt like things any moment now could get a whole lot worse? You ever been in a situation like any minute now, things could get really, really worse, right? I think we have a graphic for that one. Any minute now, things can get a whole lot worse. That's the way sheep feel when a wolf shows up. That's the way we feel when things are surrounding us that we're like, uh-oh, God, any moment now. And God's like, I know it looks like that. I know it feels like you're walking in the valley of the shadow of death. I know it looks like things are ready to cave in on you. I know it looks like a tsunami is about to take you out. I know it looks like all these things, but trust me, because I'm your shepherd. He's saying, trust me, I'm your shepherd. That's the whole point. You can't go, well, God, you don't know what I'm facing. I would face you if it was easy, but you have no idea what I'm facing. God's like, I see it all. I know before you even ask. I'm the good shepherd. I got you. I have your back. That's what he's saying to us, family. We gotta know that. Yea, though we walk through this valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. We think it could get a lot worse. God says, I see it. Don't worry. Granted, it is hard to walk in faith and walk in peace and joy when we're surrounded in times like this. But it is in times like this that we have to trust our shepherd, because he will cover our back. Bible says, and fourth point this morning, if you're a note taker, is don't live in any fear of evil coming upon you. Do not live in fear of evil coming upon you. There's many people, even though they're believers, still have this ongoing haunting fear somewhere that evil is going to be. No, don't live in that fear. This is saying, I will fear no evil. For he's sharing with us how this works. I will fear no evil. When you're under the shepherding of the Most High God, you have no evil to fear. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. No weapon formed against you will prosper. These are truths if you're under God's shepherding. And so if fear is a living on, haunting thing in the back somewhere, that will also rob the fruition of what God wants to do in your life, because it has a way of pulling us down and making us limit our decisions out of fear instead of faith. We're not supposed to make fear-based decisions. We're supposed to make faith-based decisions. And our whole life is by faith. So that's an important one. Now, the next picture here is an amazing one. If you can get this in your mind, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Picture that one. What does that look like? I mean, that is baffling. That's like that last graphic, the cat sitting down and having a little food right in the middle of the, surrounded by the German shepherds and not worrying about it. Sitting down having a nice favorite meal or something. What the king is telling us, what the master, the shepherd, our great shepherd, our Lord is telling us, is that you don't have to worry about any of that evil. I want you in my presence to be able to sit down and enjoy. I'm laying out a little banquet for you. I don't care what you think is going on. Sit in my presence. Be still, know that I'm God, and enjoy the banquet I have for you, because I want to impart things. And by the way, that's the time where God feeds us. When we meet with him like that, there's an impartation that God does in our life. There's a great exchange. We come open and God imparts things to us and feeds us. And it's really amazing how that works. So that's really important. Come to terms. Do not live in fear with any evil coming among you. And then the last part says this, and this would be good if the worship team comes up on this note. It says in verse 5, it continues, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a picture of God's blessing and God putting oil on our head, which we don't do in our custom and time very often, but it's a sign of anointing and it's a sign of blessing. And God's saying, you've come to me, you're under my protection. I don't only provide for you, I don't only protect you, but I also bless you and I anoint you. And we need that blessing and anointing that only comes from meeting with God. He restores our soul. He endorses us. He anoints us. This is what it says. It's an anointing. He anoints our head, an anointing from God. You know, when you walk out of here today, my prayer is that you come to terms with the reality of this text, but also an anointing from God to walk out of this building saying, I have an anointing from God, because you do have an anointing from God. You may need to discover it, but you have an anointing for God. He has things that he designed in you from long ago. You have an anointing from God, but when we meet with God, we discover these things, and this is where the impartation happens in the presence of God. You anoint my head with oil, and it says that he fills our cup to overflowing. Our overflowing cup. Sometimes we think we're walking around empty. We're running on fumes spiritually. Our tank is low. God's saying, meet with me. I will fill your cup to overflowing. And it also says that all of our life, goodness and mercy will follow us. Because when we're walking with God, when we're walking with the great shepherd, then there's the fruit of the Spirit in our life. There's an overflow. There will be goodness and mercy. This is the fruit. Walking down the road, there's fruit in our life because we're not walking in fear or doubt or anxiety or worry or lusting after anything in this world or the deceitfulness of riches. Instead, we're under the shepherding of the Good Shepherd, where we trust him and we live in this zone. And it is that zone where our soul gets restored and there's fruit that's being born. And guess what? As you're going through life, goodness and mercy are following you, and people will see that. And it's just, well, this is a walk with Jesus. You know, it's not me. Don't look at me. We would all say that. We would say goodness and mercy follows us. God says it would when we walk with him. And the last one is that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of the Lord was the place of God's presence. Everyone in Israel knew that up in God's house was the presence of God. That we will dwell in the presence of God forever. We will live in the house of the Lord forever. Not only did Jesus say, well, the New Testament tells us that his spirit doesn't live in temples anymore, but inside the hearts of men. Praise God for that. But Jesus also said, listen, I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there's many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place specifically for you. So it is a reality that we get to dwell in the presence of the Lord forever, both here and now, and both in eternity. And that, to me, is absolutely beautiful. I just would encourage you that the God of all comfort is saying this morning, bring all of your worries, all your fears, all your anxieties, bring them to me. Trust me with the pursuits in your life. Trust me with the things that cause frenzy, the things that cause anxiety. Come to me with them literally, not in principle, but literally. And he would say that I will impart a love and a protection and a provision for you that you know not of if we'll walk in this. And again, my time with the Lord this week, I really sensed in the spirit that this is the actual thing that is blocking fruition in some of our lives. So I just want to ask you as a point of declaration, if you want to ask God in these specific areas of worries, of doubts, of anxieties, of fears, of pursuits that are causing frenzy and anxiety, would you stand with me right now? I just want to pray for God to do something profound in this area. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And so let's be honest with God right now and say, hey, God, we don't have this down. We need you, God. We need you. And we need our soul restored in areas. So, Lord, we just come before you this morning, God. We come before you and we bring worry to you, God. We confess it to you. We confess our fears to you. We confess doubts to you. We confess any anxieties or frenzies in our life, God. We confess, Lord, pursuits of things, Lord God. If it's things that we're going after in the world, that we don't just want them, but we really, really, really want them, Lord, put them all in check, God. We want to confess that stuff to you that literally robs us from being people that walk in your presence. It robs us from the fruition that you want to bear in our lives. Lord, I just want to pray right now, Lord God, as we just come before you. Just lift your hands up to the Lord, if you would. We come to you with these open hands, God. And we say, take these, Lord. And I pray today you would do a great exchange, God. You would do a great exchange, Lord, that as we confess and put these things before you, God, you would replace them with your peace. Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Replace them with your peace, with your love, with a trust and a confidence to let you shepherd us, God, in ways that we've never even imagined before. Let us step out under your protection. Let us step out, not make an excuse for my situation. Let us believe what your word says and follow you through on it, God. You are the great shepherd. And Lord, if we need to just sit down a little longer and rest with you, whether it's today or this week, I pray you would make us rest, God. But Lord, turn us into, Lord, everything, everything that you see us to be, God. Let nothing hold us back from the fruit, God, that you want born in our life. I pray all of us, Lord, the fruit wouldn't be a little bit here and there. I pray it would be the 30, 60, or 100-fold. Anything getting in the way of that fruit, Lord, we confess it to you right now. Take it away, God. It is your will that we bear much fruit, and that's our prayer, God. So let us be people that goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life, that it's evident that we live in your presence. We love you, God. We make this declaration to you, Lord, and I thank you in faith that you answer these things. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen.
This has been a presentation of Valley Metro Church. We pray that this message has blessed you. To hear more messages or to support future podcasts, please visit us at valleymetrochurch.com.